Okay, Ash.
Yes.
So, you know how like everyone thinks it's so weird that like I'm like afraid of pickles. Like I don't just not like them. I'm like afraid of them.
It's really weird. Yeah.
Well, my Terrence fact or fiction for today: Alfred Hitchcock was afraid of eggs. Eggs. I feel like a pickle is more understandable.
I feel like eggs would be scarier than pickles. Because there's like the right. Like what's inside.
And it's like a fetus.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is how
just
he,
a cucumber.
This is how it's he explained it. He cucumber. Said, I'm frightened of eggs. Worse than frightened. They revolt me. That white round thing without any holes. And when you break it, inside there's that yellow thing. Round. Without any holes. Blood is jolly red. But egg yolk is yellow. Revolting. I've never tasted it. Like Hitchcock is dope.
Wow.
He was like, let me tell you about it. I love that.
You didn't like that. Bad. I mean, it was good. I wouldn't say the pickle is in the same category as the egg.
Well, I hate you too. I'm just kidding.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello. Welcome to
the podcast. Hello. Welcome to Unsolicited Advice. My name's Ashley. That's Taryn. And she is very afraid of pickles.
Yeah. Everyone always is like very fascinated by that. And I wish I had like a cool answer.
Also, it sounds like this is something that she just made up. No. Like from day one of our friendship, I learned this, which is, you know, weird because I love pickles. I don't have like a huge like desire or craving for them all the time, but like I do enjoy them, so it was always kind of odd to me, but it works out. We're a great couple together.
We really
because
are.
We if we go out to dinner or something, someone accidentally, even though it doesn't matter where we go, Taryn says no pickles.
What do I always
if they
do?
Accidentally like put it on the plate or something, she'll like shove it at me and I'll take it and eat
I
it.
Usually get like really wide-eyed and
she won't touch it, and then I'll like reach over and grab it and I'll eat it.
Yeah, you know, I'm
sure we were made for
you.
Each other.
Yeah, we really were. Anyways, welcome to the podcast. If you're new, I don't know why I said it like that.
No.
If you're new, we read stories and things people send in, and we give our advice.
Unsolicited advice, name plug. Also, be sure to subscribe, rate, review, like, share, all do all the things, to support us. If you want more of us, we have our own personal Instagrams too, so.
Yeah.
Get more of Ash and Taryn in your life.
Trying to get famous. Anyways, I'm excited about today's episode.
I'm excited about today's episode.
Do you have any updates? We just had Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween was great. I feel like I didn't really plan ahead and like do a costume, which usually like I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of bummed about that. But I feel like I put together stuff, and I also got to watch my nephew trick-or-treat for the first time, which was so freaking adorable.
That's adorable. Yeah. I can't wait to have like a niece or nephew and do that.
I know.
I had so much fun, and I put a lot of thought into my costume, and it turned out so good, and I had a great time. I did like the Joker, but I did like the Jack Nicholson
girl version.
So it was like the purple jacket, the green hair, and I did kind of wait last minute. So my whole plan, not like anyone asked, was to be like the Heath Ledger nurse version, but I couldn't find a good nurse outfit. Yeah. And what they had was they had like a oversized men's purple suit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this will work. And it ended up I wore the jacket as a dress, and it ended up being great.
Yeah.
I did a photo shoot in front of a gas station.
We'll post. I'm sure
wild.
We will have posted Halloween photos. So if you want to go to our Insta,
what is
you
it?
Can see.
At Unsolicited Advice.
Sure. Yep.
At Advice Unsolicited.
Advice Unsolicited Advice Pod.
There you go.
I think is our Insta. Who knows?
Names are hard. Words are hard.
We're lots of different names. I actually have the pterodactyl.
Oh, thank God.
So, yeah. And I feel like it's perfect that I read this one. Although, it would have been cool if you read it, because then I would have reacted more intensely.
I mean,
you'll
I
see. Could, okay. You'll see. Okay. Okay. So, this is from Tessa, and she says, "Hi, guys.
Hey.
If you're reading this, I love you both, and you make driving so much less boring. This is going to be super short. I just thought it was funny enough to share. My name is Tessa, and I went to Starbucks today to study, and as I was setting up my computer, I heard the girls behind me say, 'Then Taryn said,'" and then she put in parentheses, I forgot what they said, "and it was so funny. So, I turned around and said, 'Oh my gosh, you guys listen to Unsolicited Advice too? I love that podcast.' And they looked at me like I spoke another language, didn't say a word to me, just stared until I turned back around slowly. So I guess there's another Taryn they know, because they clearly aren't listeners. Just thought the name was so unique, and it had to be you because, one, you're the only Taryn I've ever heard of, and two, a very funny person." So naturally.
You're the only Taryn I know / heard of.
Yeah, I've met a few because I feel like I like listen for it more, but we're very rare.
We've been friends for so long. I listen for it too. If I heard it, I would be like,
"Yeah,
your name's Taryn. What?" Yeah.
I met a little boy with the name Taryn.
Oh, cool.
And he was not very excited that I was like a
he
woman.
Was like, "No, it's my name."
With his name.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, "No, but it's cool."
Yeah.
He was like, "No." Anyway, so she continues, "But it wasn't actually you, clearly. I felt the need to leave after that, so I went home with my drink to study because I was embarrassed. So thanks, Taryn. Love you both. Love, Tessa."
Cute. Also, Tessa's a fun name.
Tessa's cool, yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Cool. But that's cool. Tessa. That would have been dope if it was like...
Yeah.
I was reading it, and I was like, "Oh my God, some people are just talking about us in the streets."
Uh-huh.
But they're not. They're not.
We're...
And that's it.
That's
all I got.
That's
all I got. I'm going to need you to like give me some more ash.
Okay. You know what? I'm waking up.
I could tell.
I'm waking up.
But like, I'm like Tinkerbell. If you don't give me laughter and acceptance of the things I say, I
do. Okay. 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 Okay.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1-week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
So yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I have a long story.
Okay.
So
buckle up.
Buckle up. Get comfy. Pour yourself a cup of coffee.
Not if you're driving, though.
Not if you're driving. This one is titled "Dating and the Single Mom."
Ooh.
Let's get into it. Hey, Ashley and Taryn.
Hello.
I'm doing it. I'm finally emailing you. You have no idea how long I've been debating on whether or not to just email you. It's been a long time coming, but here we are. Okay, well, first off, hello. She wants to be kept anonymous. I only say this because my name is so unique that I'm pretty sure if anyone I know listens to this podcast, they would know that it's me and it would be totally awkward. But anyways, I just wanted to start out by saying I listen to your podcast every Monday morning while I get ready for work. It's one of my favorite things to do to start my week off. I also wanted to share that I am an Enneagram 6, which will explain why I am the way that I am later. And for those of you that don't know, Taryn and I love and are obsessed with the Enneagram, which is a personality quiz / study. It breaks everyone's personalities into 9 different numbers. The 6 is the loyalist, and they are very much hard to befriend, but once you're in, they don't trust a lot of people, but like once you're in their circle, they will die for you. That's what they're like most known as.
I feel like the 6 to me, the most that I notice about them is they're like the worriers. They're like,
they struggle a lot with anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety, constantly like trying to figure everything out, like just kind of like sixes to me are like, I get so frustrated because I'm very much like, it's okay, there's a problem, let's fix it.
Yeah.
And they're, I'll give them my plan, I'll encourage. And then at the end of it, they'll just be like, okay, but what about this? And yeah. I'm like, no, I just want to help you. Yeah. You know
my
what I mean?
Mom is a six and she stresses, and she's probably listening to this, and she would tell you if she were here also. Oh, this yeah, is not gossip. She understands. She stresses over everything.
Yeah.
Like every little thing, very much. Like she'll think of plan A, plan B, mm-hmm. plan C. And that's just how she is. So that's who our writer is.
Yeah.
She continues, so I will try my best to keep this email short, but no promises. I am a 27-year-old single mom to my amazing 3-year-old daughter. A little backstory, I dated a guy that I met on Tinder in 2017 during my senior year of college. Things progressed quickly in our relationship, and by the end of the new year, I found out that I was pregnant. I went through my final semester of college in a really tough spot of struggling with my mental health, passing my classes so that I could graduate and get my degree. And on top of that, I was pregnant. It was a really rough time for me, and I struggled immensely with all of it. The guy that I was with did not make it any easier as well. He was very wishy-washy in the sense that he couldn't decide whether or not he wanted to be involved with me and our daughter at all.
Take your time.
Yeah.
whenever you have an answer, no big deal.
In the end, I decided that in the interest of myself and my daughter, that we should go our separate ways.
Yeah.
Currently, her dad has been in and out of our lives and has seldom shown interest in seeing his daughter. He has met her once since she's been born, and that was the only interaction that he's had with her. He continues to be in and out of her life, but still does not show interest in being a constant figure in her life, which, as a mom, makes it very hard to watch and makes me that much more driven to find a father figure that she can have in her life. Mm. I was able to graduate and get my degree, and then the next fall, I gave birth to my daughter. There were a lot more things that happened during my pregnancy, but I will spare you the details of all of that. Ha ha ha. After my daughter was born, my life completely changed. It was never easy starting out as a single mom, but I had a great support system with my family and friends that were there for me when I needed them. We had some pretty tough times, but I knew that God was with us and had a plan for us every step of the way. My daughter is now 3 years old, and she is the best thing that has ever happened to me. She makes me smile, she makes me laugh, and she just brings so much joy. She's taught me so much and has made me a better person. They say that there is no love than the love that a mother feels for their child, and I can wholeheartedly say that that is 100% true. I can't thank God enough for bringing her into my life. So, here is my issue. I am a single mom, but no one ever talks about what it's like dating as a single mom. I thought dating as a normal person was hard. But oh no, dating as a single mom is a whole new world for me and my friends. There are so many things that you have to consider when dating. Not only do you have to think about if you are compatible with another person, you have to think if they are compatible with your kids. Mm. Are they ready to commit not only to you, but to your kids as well? Are they ready to take the responsibility of taking care of your kids? Are they okay with the divided time that they will receive? Oof. Those are only a few things to think about, and there are so many other things to consider. From my own experience, and let me tell you, I've had some experiences. I've been on dating apps, and I can just say, for one, a vast majority of guys don't find it to be a big deal if you have a child, which was a big surprise to me. But I will say having a child does not mean that the guys are any less of a jerk to you. Regardless, if you have a child or not, guys are honestly just as disrespectful, which I find to be disappointing. It is so hard to find good guys that are actually looking for a relationship and not just a typical hookup. And then there's time. Being a single mom, it is so hard to find time to do anything, let alone go on a date. There's always work, house chores to get done, meals to be prepped, and by the time I get any free time, I'm just too exhausted to do anything else but to just sit and relax at home. Plus, there's the mom guilt. I constantly feel like I have to find a babysitter for my daughter so that I can do stuff, whether it's work, getting groceries, or even going on a date. I feel guilty for not being there for my daughter, even though I am doing these things for her specifically. It's a constant battle that I face. And there are the ones that you think would be perfect for you and they check off all the boxes, but then they either ghost you or just aren't ready to make any sort of commitment or come up with excuses as to why they don't feel like a relationship would work out. I should note, we just recently moved to a new area, but I haven't really gotten a chance to go out and meet people either. Literally, the only places I go to are work and the store and church, and that's about it. I'm at a point in my life where I am so ready to find my person and to find someone that could be a potential father figure in my daughter's life, but it's so hard to do that in this day and age. And I'm tired of the guys that are just looking for a hookup. I would like to say that I'm the type of person that is super open and outgoing, but because of my past relationships and experiences with dating, it is very hard for me to open up and be vulnerable. I don't want to get my heart broken, but more importantly, I don't want to let my daughter down either. What would you say are your thoughts or advice on dating and being a single parent? I apologize for this email being so long, and I hope that it all made sense since it's currently almost 11 p.m. here in my time. But either way, thank you for taking the time to read this, and I hope it will give you some new insight and be helpful to others who may be going through the same thing that I am going through as a single parent. Thanks again. I know how much you guys love getting pictures of your listeners, so I've attached one of me and my daughter. So enjoy.
Hoping. There she is.
Oh my God, they're matching. She's so cute.
Your daughter's gorgeous. Yeah, you're gorgeous. But so she's cute. So cute with the little bow, too. I have so many thoughts. I know Taryn has a lot of thoughts. Yeah. So do you want to go first?
Well, I feel like, I mean, before we even get started on anything, like, I feel like our advice is going to be taken with a grain of salt because yeah. It's so true. Like, I mean, I experienced just like a minuscule version of this when I became an aunt. Like, everyone talks about like how it's like, oh my God, you love that kid more than anything. Like, your life changes. And it's like one thing to be like, oh, yeah, I get it. But then the second, like, I held him. Like, I felt it. And it's a love that, like, I've never experienced before. Mm-hmm. So I feel like because me and Ashley are not mothers, it's hard for us to fully know. So we'll try to give justice to just from, like, an outside perspective what we would say. But I feel like it's also kind of hard because we don't know what it's like to be a mom and to have that as a focus. Like, I can't even date right now and I have a dog. Like, so it's like, I think we can touch on a lot of the things that were said. Mm-hmm. But again, like, I don't think we can understand until we're there. But I do guarantee that there are people listening right now that are like, oh my God, like, same, you know? Yeah. Like, I think she's right. It's something people don't talk about that much.
Yeah, I feel like we just need to take a moment actually to just really celebrate you and what you're doing, because you being a parent is hard, let alone a single parent.
Oh my God, yeah.
And having to find that balance. I mean, I'm so happy that you have a great support system, because that's not always the case for everybody. No, so that's amazing, and I'm so happy for you that you have that, and for your daughter that she has that. But I feel it's so hard because you need to pour your whole life into your kid, but you have to take care of yourself as well. Like, there has to be some balance that is there at some point. I don't know if that means like a designated date day out of the month where it's like, okay, well, I'm allowed to go out on one or two dates a month.
But that's only if you've found someone.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So it's hard to like plan ahead. I think so. It's like, it's almost like a multi-part like answer, right? So like, first, how do you just find someone? Yeah. And I think that's what's cool about dating apps is it's like right there off the bat. Like, I, you know, like every time you like look at someone's information, it's like, I have children or I want children. Or like for me, like I'll see some, because I don't think I would be fazed if the guy had kids. Mm-hmm. I would want to know what his previous situation was.
Right.
But I love children. So like, I know I would be like amazing at raising someone else's kids. Mm-hmm. But like, I'll look, and sometimes they say, like, have kids, don't want more. So I'm like, okay, well, that's like a deal breaker. So that is a nice thing about dating apps is you can put like, I have kids. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's going to connect with you is going to know that fact. So they're obviously like, okay with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I've never dated anyone that had kids, but coming from a dating app perspective, I remember there was a guy that I found attractive and I liked his entire profile. And one of the main things on there was like, have a daughter, like want to let you know ahead of time. But that didn't stop me from liking his profile and chatting with him for a bit.
And if it did, like, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to want someone to date you that's like not willing to be a part of your child's life. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you should see those as losses. I think it's like a good way to like weed people out.
Yeah.
Because then, I mean, and I know like I don't feel like I'm putting a fear into you because you are a six. So I guarantee you've already thought about this. But like, you have to think about like the creeps that are out there too. Yeah. And you have a little girl. Like, I know I'm going to be one of those paranoid parents like, no one is alone with my child unless like I know them or I've like vetted them out like an extensive amount. So it's not just that. It's like, how do you like trust someone and how do you introduce someone? How do you know when to introduce into your child's life? And like what that means, and how do you also be an example to your daughter of like what it looks like to be a woman and making good choices that are right for you. So it's just, it's hard. Like that's so many moving pieces. And I think that's why, and you started getting into it. I think that's why I would have fun with the like, okay, like let me try to meet people, like all that stuff. And then when it gets serious, then that's when like there has to be some form of like prioritizing, spending enough time with that person to where you're able to actually get to know who they are.
Yeah.
Which is, it's hard because the sitters and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But it's weird because Taryn's right. The second a relationship like progresses from like, oh, we're just getting to know each other, we're dating, to all of a sudden you are more serious and you're seeing each other more often, that I can't imagine how hard that would be with a child. But it's true. Taryn's right. Like you have to do that so that you get to know him better.
Yeah.
So prioritizing that time together is something that you're going to have to do. Mm-hmm. And that can be really scary because that means a little less time with your daughter. Because if you're not with her, you're with him. So it is less time with your daughter. But I do think that this is something that a lot of mothers and parents in general, single parents, probably struggle with, is maybe guilt for prioritizing yourself in that way. I think parenthood, again, I'm not a parent, so this is just an outsider's perspective. I think being a parent is a beautiful thing. I think being a mother is such a gift. But I think the only way that you can be the best version of yourself is to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that means a lot of different things. That means mental health. That means self-care. Mm-hmm. That means physically. That means emotionally. And that includes dating and finding, you know, your own love. And prioritizing that isn't something that you should ever feel guilty about. Obviously, to a degree with your kid, like your kid is still like your number one priority. But you have to take care of yourself too. Mm-hmm. And if you are feeling this desire to find someone, then I think you need to allow yourself to search for him and to really prioritize finding him. I think what needs to happen is, I think in the beginning stages, you need to let yourself have fun and like just have a designated go out day, whether it ends up being just you and you're treating yourself to a movie by yourself, or you go out with friends, or you go on a date night. Like, you need a designated, like, I'm allowed to have fun and try to find someone day. And then with the online stuff, that's really hard, but maybe I love like scheduled stuff. Maybe even like a scheduled certain amount of time every day to be on the app, so it doesn't like take over your day, because you can easily scroll on there for hours.
I get depressed when I scroll for too long.
Yeah, so like what if you like allowed yourself, okay, I'm allowed on the app for like 20 minutes, I'm gonna scroll through, and then, you know, if something happens and you start chatting with someone, that's fine, but you you know, past a certain point, like, you only allow yourself a certain amount of time.
Does that help? I feel like it's the beginning part is just, if I were you, I'm just trying to put myself in my shoes, I would be really working hard on finding like a good babysitter that I love.
Yeah.
Like for in the future.
Yeah.
And then I would also just be like going on when I can, having fun with it, like not making it feel like a chore or like something that I'm like dreading, but just doing it and like having fun. But also, like you mentioned, you go to church. Like, I feel like that's a great place to meet people too, mm-hmm. but you have to be intentional. Also, I feel like a lot of people I've known of that are like trying to date with kids, it's a lot of like word of mouth too. So like telling friends like, hey, like, I think I'm ready today. Like, if you know of anyone who like you trust and is like good with kids, like let me know. I feel like that's always a good way too, especially like with a kid and you're like going to want to make sure that they're like a dope person. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if it could be like, well, I trust this person and they recommended him. So that's another way. It's a scary conversation to have, mm-hmm. but you can make it super light. Just like I said, like, guys, I think I'm ready today. Like, if you know of anyone, you know what I mean?
It doesn't have to be. I think I'm guilty of this too, because there's been times where I've told friends where I've been like, hey,
yeah,
if you know anyone, like I'm like, I want to date someone, like I'm looking for someone. It does kind of, I think at first feel awkward, but the second you start the conversation, especially if they're dope friends, it's not weird.
Just make a joke about it. Everyone thinks it's funny. Just be like, hi, I'm trying not to die alone.
But also it's normal. Like everyone does that. Yeah. So.
Faux show. But yeah, I think you got this. I think all of the things that you're saying, like I feel like there's not much advice we can give, because dating as a mom is going to be hard, like no matter what.
Yeah.
So I think if you kind of embrace that, like this is going to be taxing. But like once I like do the work and find someone who I trust and who could be like a foundation in my life mm-hmm. and my daughter's life, then like it'll all be worth it.
Yeah.
But also like just like, I mean, like listen to your heart, listen to your head. Like you know what your priorities are. You know what your daughter needs, what you need. So enlist in the help of others, mm-hmm. make time for yourself, and you got this.
Yeah, and my head just went blank. I'm so bad at this. It's gone. Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with Taryn. I'm so proud of you for prioritizing yourself, for being an amazing mother. And I think you keep that bar high. Don't settle for anything less than what you're looking for. And sooner or later, some guy's going to show up and he's going to check every single box. He's going to be a great father. And I'm so excited for that day for you.
Yeah, I think too, because like I've been single for like freaking ever. And everyone's always like, oh, how am I going to know when they're the one? Or like, oh, I'm so tired of waiting, like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but like you'll know they're the one when they're the one. Yeah. So like the fact that you're frustrated.
And that's the whole thing is it's one.
Yeah. Like
you're supposed to sift through a bunch until you find the one.
There's multiple. I mean, we can all settle for stuff. But if you like know what you want and like you pursue it, you know what I mean? So I don't know. For me, I'm like, okay, like instead of me stressing, I'm going to like make sure I'm creating like a life for myself that I love, that I'm working on myself, so that when it comes, then I'm gonna be like a dope, healthy person.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be able to just enjoy my life with someone, and I'm not gonna be with them and then be trying to work on myself.
Yes.
So it's like you have a daughter, you have so much to focus on. So like keep doing that, and then also just like making time for other stuff.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't feel as like, oh my God, I have to do this. It's like, no, I'm being productive in what I'm doing with my life. And then when it comes, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Also, homework for you. I've mentioned this in podcasts before, but one of my favorite speakers/pastors is Mike Todd, and he has a relationship series. And there's a book about it. So if you want to look up on Amazon, Michael Todd's relationship series book, you can get the book. But also there's his sermons on YouTube that are phenomenal. And it goes through singleness, dating, and marriage. And I think it's really helpful when you're in each one to actually focus in and like listen to his words in a season of singleness and in a season of dating and in a season of marriage. Like, I think we all need to learn and grow. And I think it's an amazing series that will help you out so much in this time period that you're single. So
yes,
that's some like tactical, go get that. I feel like she'll like that a lot.
Yeah, I love that series.
I've listened to it so many times.
Could quote it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for writing in.
Yes, Anonymous.
Definitely sending all the positive thoughts your way.
And there's so many people in the same place. Yeah.
I freaking support you guys and I respect the crap out of you. Okay, let's get into my story. Now, I'm going to say the last sentence of this because it really like got me. And then I'm going to kind of like edit things, which will be understandable. So she ends this with the thought of being on the podcast scares the crap out of me because I don't know what I'd do if someone I knew could tell this was me. But I just need some good old big sis advice. Ugh. So I read that and like it really got me because I like that just shows like the desperation of like she just feels trapped.
Yeah.
And so the fact that she's so scared of getting recognized, I was like, okay, I'm going to very briefly mention certain things because I want to like help protect her too.
Yeah.
Because like that, like, I don't know. It just really got me. So she starts, "Hey friends, I'd like to remain anonymous." Because her name's unique too, which is funny because wasn't yours the same thing?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
"I've been listening since 2019 and look forward to your new episodes every week. Sometimes while I'm listening, I almost forget we aren't actually friends and I can't call you to put in my input."
I absolutely love that.
Okay, so I'm going to get straight to the point. "I'm 23 and my husband and I got married when I was 21 and he was 20. We have cats and a dog, we own a home, and we honestly, from the outside, look like we have a perfect life. We'll rewind to before our wedding. My husband was working on a project, and he got injured, like, pretty bad. Mm-hmm. He had to quit his job he was at because of the injuries, and they were paying super well, and he had to start working jobs that were just better on his body. Over the past couple years, his medical issues have taken a giant toll on his mental health. He's quick to anger, says things about his life that are just so heartbreaking. He's become bitter and just all around depressed. Sometimes when his physical pain is so overwhelming, he takes out his frustration outwardly, snapping at me or our animals or our family members. He's become someone I don't know anymore. He doesn't want to go to therapy because it makes him feel weak." And that she's saying she thinks that's the reason. Mm-hmm. "But I know it would help. He's had multiple procedures to try and help, but they've all failed to do anything good. And I can see why he's so frustrated. I just don't know what to do. I cry a lot because I feel like I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a relationship with someone who hates life and dims the light in life that I see. I've never been a very depressed person, but I feel myself falling into this pit. I don't know what to do. I love him so much, but I love the version of him that he used to be. I'm just nervous to know what the future could bring."
Wow.
Love, Anonymous. Isn't that heartbreaking?
Oof.
This one, like, really, like, I mean, all the stories, like, get me, but I don't know why. I just felt, like, very just, like, I don't know. I can feel... like her just like helplessness, like it's one thing like you marry someone, you commit your life to them, but then what happens when something happens that like changes the person who you married? Mm-hmm. Like, and I've heard of this,
and it's hard when they like it's no one's fault.
Yeah, no,
you can't blame them for it.
I heard one time someone like their husband got in a crash and literally his brain like was damaged, so his personality was altered. Mm-hmm. And it's like now you're married to someone who like how do you
connect with anymore.
Yeah, or just like it's just different. Mm-hmm. Like I can't even imagine what that feels like. And then not only that, but this person who you love so much and you're supposed to be partners, like watching them just like literally deteriorate in front of you and like not being able to do anything.
No, that's so rough. My dad had two very big accidents happen in his life. There was one where he completely tore his shoulder and was out of work for like, I think 6 months while he was recovering. Yeah. And then another time period in his life, he had Meniere's disease and was out for like a year. And it sounds in retrospect like it didn't dramatically change his life. You know, he got back on his feet. But those 6 months and the year for me, like, were really hard. But for my mom, was so hard because with Meniere, he had Meniere's disease and they had to put him on a really strict diet that had like he ate no dairy, no corn, and that was in like everything.
Yeah.
And so he was on a horrible diet on top of like being sick. Mm-hmm. And he was in the worst depressive state I've ever seen. And the same thing happened with his shoulder, and he would just kind of like sit in the corner and read and not talk. And it was a really hard time. It's kind of similar. The only thing, this is going to sound so weird, the only thing that worked out randomly was he started baking. And it was just a random hobby that just kind of like came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It didn't fully get him out of the depressive state, but it was something to kind of focus on.
Yeah.
And I think that he ended up like perfecting pies. Sounds so random, but like it kind of worked, and he was still down. And so it wasn't like it's not a fix in any way. But if there's any way to get him to like just try random stuff, like I never in my life thought my dad would bake, but he like came out of it being a baker. And it's so random, but I think it legitimately, I would say it like pulled him out of his depression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the ones like I wish I could ask some clarifying questions. Yeah. Because I would love to know, I mean, obviously you've talked about getting therapy and he's not open to it, but I'd love to know like what conversations you've had. Mm-hmm. And I think when you are married, there's a different level that comes. Like your problems are not just your own. And so for me, when I'm hearing this, like to me, this is like, you're in overtime. There's 1 minute left on the clock. Like, mm-hmm. this is like, you're like crunch at the time. End of the game, right? Like, because for me, what I'm reading in all of this is like, you're getting to the point where you're done. He sounds like he's done almost in like a scary way. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, this is a point where it's like, okay, like now's the time, like you throw in your trick plays, like you throw in like everything you have, because you don't have time to just like hope something happens. So for me, like my initial thought when I see this is like there needs to be a very serious conversation that happens where you are super firm with him and you're like, hey, obviously I love you. Like I married you for in sickness and in health. I'm here for you to support you. I've been trying to be like someone you can lean on and I will continue to. But this is not just your life. Mm-hmm. This is my life too. If we're ever going to have kids someday, like if we're ever going to just have a life that we can enjoy.
Or just not get divorced.
Yeah, it's to the point where I can't sit here and watch someone I love just fall apart like this. I know you don't want to do therapy, but this is not just your choice anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I'm telling you as your wife, like I need us to go. If you want to go as a couple, I'll go with you. If you want me to go sit in the waiting room and just be there, like I'll go with you. But you have got to do something to try to just be like to get better, because I can't watch this happen anymore.
Yeah, I think maybe he needs, or I don't know if you've had this conversation yet or something similar, but he needs to understand the severity of the situation that you guys are in. Maybe he doesn't fully realize where you're at. I think bringing that to his attention might change his perspective on therapy.
Yeah, and just
like maybe in his
like,
head, he's like, no, I'm just like, I'm in a funk. It's not that big of a deal. And you're like, no, bro.
No.
This is not a funk.
And I think saying like, I don't recognize you, like bringing up like, remember how we used to like just like laugh and have fun? Remember how we used to do this? Remember how you used to enjoy this? And I know like physical people who experience chronic pain, it is a literal form of torture. Mm-hmm. Like I've watched people I love go through it, and it's a level that is not understood by many.
Yes.
So I mean, I definitely empathize with that, and I can't imagine what he's going through. But he's got to have some tools put in place to like help him through this. And I think like it's obviously affecting him mentally too. So like therapy and like some kind of like accountability and like support, he needs something like clearly. Yeah. So if I were you, I would do that. That's just me. Like personally, if I was in this situation, I would sit him down and have like that come to Jesus meeting of like,
yeah,
hey, like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it's torturing me watching you torture yourself. And like, I know you don't want to go, but like, I need this. Like, mm-hmm. we have to do this, you know?
Yeah. I think it's also with when people are in that place, I think it's important to remind them that they are purposeful. Mm-hmm. Like they have a life that they have, and there's so many possibilities in their life for them to like grab a hold of and run with. And I think sometimes, especially when you're in a depressive state, and I've been there before, it's you lose sight of like what is good in your life. And I personally believe in God, and I think that every person was created for a purpose. And mm-hmm. I think when they're in like such a deep, dark pit like that, it's so important to remind them of that purpose, that there is a point to this life and that they're allowing theirs to like waste away. Obviously you want to say that in a very nice way. I don't know what you believe either, but I do agree. I believe that everyone has a purpose, and I think he needs to be reminded of what his is.
Yeah. And I think too, another thing I would say is because this is affecting you so much, and I can relate to this so much because I take on so much of everyone else. And when I get to the point, I can take on a lot, right? Like I can take on a lot. But when I get to the point where I'm being completely drained and not being filled up by like being loved by other people or invested in, I start to deteriorate. And one thing like I feel like I've even been working on is like being intentional with who you're going to for certain needs. So right now it sounds like your husband's not able to give you just like that joy, mm-hmm. that like partnership, things like that. So I would be really intentional about friendships you have, like kind of creating a community that you can kind of like escape to be filled back up to mm-hmm. then come home and try to be the best you can for him.
And that's the worst place when you can't go home and feel comfort.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's
the
terrible.
Second your home turns into like a war zone, it's like, where do you go?
Yeah. You know? It's terrible. So I would really make sure you're taking care of yourself. We say it all the time. It's the whole like airplane metaphor. Put your mask on before you put someone else's on. This is clearly starting to make you, like you said, like fall into a pit. So I would make sure that you're really like prioritizing taking care of yourself as much as you can. But I also think a line needs to be drawn with him out of love, but just overemphasizing how much like you love him and how hard it is to watch him go through this because you love him, mm-hmm. but also putting your foot down of like something you need help.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing it for yourself, like please do it for me because like I can't do this. Like I'm starting to like suffer, you know, and hopefully like if he's able to take his focus off himself and be like, okay, then I'll do this for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe like that'll be more motivation, you know?
Yeah. That's such a hard place to be in.
My heart is like so broken for you.
But I also think it is super normal, like you to be there for someone as much as you can. But the second it starts affecting you, like you have to draw that boundary and that line. And that's something that we all need to remember in so many different aspects of life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if he's starting to affect you and bring you down, something's got to change. And me and Taryn highly recommend therapy.
Oh my gosh, I know.
If there is any way to get him in therapy, we're such huge fans of therapy. And I think it shocks me, but it still has such a like negative concept, I think. Or I think people hold negative concepts of it, but it is such an amazing and freeing thing to learn about yourself.
Yeah, and the thing is, are there sucky therapists? Yeah,
for sure.
Like I went to school with most of them, but like there's so many different styles. So if you get him to agree, that's another thing I would say. Like if I were you, then I'd be like, amazing. I'm going to set something up. Like, you don't have to worry about it because, like, baby steps, right?
Make it,
like,
as easy as possible. Yeah.
And I would reach out. If you think you would vibe better with a male therapist, find a male therapist. When you call them, ask them, hey, like, what's your approach? Like, what kind of vibe do you give off to your clients? Like, what? Because that's important to know. Like, you have some therapists that are very, like, straightforward and, like, just chill and just talk about stuff. You have others that are very, like, emotional and that kind of stuff.
Conversational.
So, like, do research and find someone that you think can be of help to him in, like, what he's vibing with. Even, like, I mean, I don't know if you guys go to church, but I know a lot of churches have people that they have, like, therapists kind of on staff and do counseling. So that might be, like, an easy step. But obviously, if you're not involved in a church, then traditional therapy, some is covered by insurance. There's, like, BetterHelp. There's lots of different options out there. But I think the first hurdle is just getting in to agree to do it.
Yes, 100%.
But Anonymous, I don't think you understand how much of my heart is, like, with you. And I just hope, like, I'm like praying that you just will have so much, like, just confidence and peace and, like, wisdom as you go into this conversation to just, like, really just speak clearly. I would, if you struggle with conversations, like, write it out. I think there's nothing.
I'd write it out 5 times before I had to say it.
It doesn't take the power away if you sit with someone and have an intentional, like, hey, I feel like I'm going to have a hard time saying this, so I'm going to read it. Let yourself
also,
cry.
I think that
let
brings,
yourself be emotional.
That brings the seriousness to the table, too, where it's like, hey, I need to talk to you, but not just talk to you. Like, I've seriously thought this out, and I need you to pay attention to me. I feel like he would see your notes and be like, oh, damn.
Yeah, and if he's like, I don't know what to say, then you could even be like, okay, like, I'm going to leave this note with you. Like, let's talk when you're ready.
I'm gonna go for a walk. I'm gonna go run some errands. I'll come back. You marinate with this for a little bit. Yeah. Process that, and then we can come back and discuss it after. Yeah.
But you got this. You got
also,
this.
Yeah. Give him time to think about it.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot.
Also, do research. There's lots of articles out there that are, like, spouses of people who are struggling with, like, health things. So I would do some research. I would, like, get your bearings.
There's also, it sounds funny, but there's also a really big YouTube community on depression and videos that you can watch from different perspectives. Like, I highly recommend you go onto YouTube and Google, like married to someone who's depressed. And I think you'd be shocked.
Yeah.
What pops up.
Yeah, you got this, girl.
Love you.
I just wish there was a way to, like, virtually hug someone. Yeah. Because
I wish we could send hugs.
I'm such a hugger.
I know.
She said I know.
Should we send a video, or should we get a video of you hugging the camera and then send it to everyone
the
who writes in?
Yeah. That's beautiful. Okay. I have a great dad joke.
Oh, fantastic.
To just, you know,
wrap us up, Taryn.
Wrap us up. What did Aunt Jemima say when she ran out of pancakes?
Are you gonna guess?
No. How waffle?
Damn it!
How waffle?
No, that's good. That's really good.
That one got me.
She's proud of that one.
I am proud of that one. I didn't write it, but I picked it. So,
wow, phenomenal. Guys, thank you so much for listening, for making it to the dad joke. We love you the mostest. Follow us on all our socials. Mm-hmm. If you are sitting on some kind of story need help
write
with, that you
in.
Want to talk it out with, or you just want to hear us discuss, please write it in because we want it. That's all. We love you, and we'll talk to you guys in the next episode.
Sweet. Bye.